We are continuing today to look at the Sermon on the Mount. And today we're going to hear Jesus teaching about revenge and love for enemies. And as always, as we've gone through this series, I encourage you to keep your hearts and your minds open, that we really, really pay attention to what Jesus is saying as we listen to these verses from the Sermon on the Mount. I'll be reading today from Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to begin with verse 38 and read down through the end of the chapter. If you have your Bibles today, you're welcome to follow along. If not, you're welcome to listen as we read from Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 38. Jesus said, "You have heard the law that says that the punishment must match the injury. An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. If you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat also. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, then carry it for two. Give to those who ask, and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even the pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of His holy word. And let us pray. We thank you, O God, for the opportunity that we have today to be in worship. We thank you for the way that your Holy Spirit has moved through our gathering thus far. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to move among us. Lord, I pray that in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be your words. And Lord, we ask that you would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, dear God, open our hearts, that the words that you have for us today might be more for us than just information. But indeed, Lord, may we find your words today to be transforming. And as we open our hearts to you today, may you transform us into the people that you would have us to be. All this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, saying, Amen. Well, this is probably one of the most difficult passages thus far in the Sermon on the Mount, as we come to this teaching of Jesus about revenge and about loving your enemies. Jesus starts out by saying this: "You have heard that the law says that the punishment must match the injury, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." In the ancient world, when there were no laws, there were no courts, there were no jails, there was no criminal justice system, one of the important things that the society had to do was to decide what was appropriate punishment. And when you hear an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, sometimes we think that's barbaric. We think, well, gosh, that's really not a fair justice system. But what it was designed to do was to keep somebody who gets their tooth knocked out from going out and knocking the teeth out of the person that hit them and knocked their tooth out. It keeps them from going and murdering somebody and their entire family because they lost an eye. Because you see, the temptation always was to escalate the revenge, to escalate it. Well, if you did a little bit of this to me, I'm going to do a lot of that to you. And what we know about revenge is that tends to escalate things. I have a video clip I want to show you this morning that's from an old movie called The Untouchables, you may have seen. The scene that we're about to see is a conversation between Sean Connery's character and Kevin Costner's character. Kevin Costner is playing Elliot Ness. The scene is set in Chicago during the time of Al Capone. His gang was running the city, and they're having a conversation about what needs to be done. And I want you to pay close attention to this video clip, because you'll notice they're sitting in a church while they're having this. So if we could show that clip. All right. Obviously, I was meant to narrate this clip. And some of you, I hope, have seen this movie. It's an old movie. It's a good movie. But basically, as Sean Connery and Kevin Costner are talking, they're talking about what to do about Al Capone, how to get him. And Sean Connery says this: if they bring a knife, you bring a gun. If they put one of yours in the hospital, you put one of theirs in the morgue. And then he says a famous movie line you may have heard before: that's the Chicago way. And you see, what Sean Connery was advocating — it's fascinating to me that they were having this conversation in the midst of a church — but what he was advocating was, whatever they do to you, you come back and do that 10 times more to them. That's the way to operate. And you know, that's the way revenge works, isn't it? That's what revenge is about, isn't it? It's about coming back and smacking hard, hurting the person that has hurt you, getting back at them. And it's interesting to me that Jesus is not having any of this. He's not having any of this at all. And I want to read you what Jesus says next. Jesus says, "I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also." What Jesus was talking about was, in the ancient world, the most demeaning thing that you could do to somebody if you hit them was to backhand them. It was considered an insult. Now, if you hit somebody, if you slapped them or you punched them, that was one thing. But to backhand somebody was considered an insult. And if you backhanded somebody with your right hand, you are going to hit them on this cheek. Right? That's how it works. Bam, you're going to smack them on the right cheek. And when Jesus says, offer them your other cheek, well, what happens when you do that, and when you turn and offer them your left cheek? They can't backhand you again. There's no way the handle worked that way. And what Jesus is saying is, hey, just because they hit you once, that doesn't mean that they'll be able to do it again. Because you see, what was operating in the ancient world is a lot like what operates in our world. And what operates in our world is this: well, you know, if you do this to me, I'm going to do that to you, and I might do more of it. That was kind of the point of what Sean Connery was saying to Kevin Costner. But Jesus says, no, offer the other cheek. Jesus keeps going. If you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give them your coat also. Most of the Jewish people in Jesus' day, the audience that he would be speaking to, most of them had two garments. One of them was an inner shirt. And usually people had at least one of these, and maybe more. But then they also had this outer garment that was kind of like a poncho, okay? It was kind of like a poncho. It was a thicker garment. It was a heavier garment. They usually wore it everywhere, and sometimes they even slept in it. And so Jesus was saying, if somebody takes one of your shirts, which is fairly easy to replace, then give them your tunic, your coat also. And for most people, that was unthinkable because they only had one. One biblical writer that I read who wrote about this passage said, That act in itself would shame somebody who was suing you because it would leave you without anything. And once again, Jesus is saying, you know what? You know what? You don't have to resist in the way you think that you need to resist. Maybe if somebody sues you for your shirt, you give them your coat and you show them how ridiculous they are being. The third thing here is a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. I can't imagine, as I consider Jesus saying this to the people, the Jewish people in his audience, I can't imagine what their response was. The law was that a Roman soldier could compel any Jewish man or boy to carry their gear for up to 1 mile. In those days, they measured a mile, it was 1,000 paces. And what the Jewish people did when they had to do this was, can you imagine? They went 1,000 paces and then they dropped whatever they had on the ground because that's all they could be compelled to do. And you know, it's interesting to me as I think about this passage, you'll remember in Jesus' crucifixion that the soldiers compelled Simon of Cyrene to carry the crossbar when Jesus couldn't. And that was this law in action. And what Jesus is saying is, if somebody compels you, if a soldier asks you to do this, just go another 1,000 paces. Do a little more. Because Jesus is trying to get us to see that if you're going to live the Jesus life, if you're going to really be a follower of mine, then you need to make sure you're going the extra mile, you're turning the other cheek. You need to make sure that you give when you are asked of, because you need to live in a way that shows everyone else around you that you are salt and light, that you are different, that things are different in the kingdom of God. And this fascinates me. Because most of us, even in our culture, would easily fall into whatever the culture demands, whatever it says. And Jesus says, no, you must go beyond that. And then this is probably the one that gives us as much trouble as the first one. You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. And then Jesus says, for God gives sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. You know, that's interesting because it reminds me that, you know, when it rains, it doesn't just rain on non-believers. It doesn't just rain on unchristians. It rains on everybody. When the sun shines, it just doesn't shine on us, does it? It shines on everybody. And Jesus says, hey, if you love those who can love you back, what have you done? If you love those who can love you back, what have you done? Probably not one of us in this room hasn't had the experience of loving on a newborn baby. And when babies are born, and particularly when they get to about that 12 to 18 month period, they are so cute, aren't they? They're just about to learn to walk. They're sweet. They're just about to learn to talk. And then all of a sudden they turn 2. And you go, what happened to you? And that would be okay, I think. We might be able to live with that if it wasn't the fact that there's another transformation that happens about 11, 12, 13 when they get into adolescence. And you go, okay, this time I really mean it. What happened to you? What's going on with you? But you know, we love our children regardless of where they are and what's going on, because we know that sooner or later they're going to come out of it. And I think Jesus has this interesting saying about loving our enemies for the same way. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. Even pagans do that. You see, one of the things I think that happens to us when we get to these passages is we like to play a game that one of my seminary professors warned me about. It was this game that goes like this. What Jesus said was, dot, da, dot, da, da, but what he really meant was nothing like that. What Jesus said was, love your enemies, go the extra mile, turn the other cheek. If somebody sues you for your shirt, give them. But that's not it. That's not what he really meant. What he really meant was, you know, love the people that love you back, and those other people, yeah, we might pray for them, but you know, hey, really? But I don't see any place, as I look at this scripture that I read to you this morning, I don't see any place where Jesus says, there's an exception. I don't see a place where there's a place where Jesus says, you know, this is not really applicable to everybody. You see, we forget sometimes what Paul wrote about. Paul writes in Romans, he writes about this whole idea of revenge. And in good fashion, he follows the Sermon on the Mount. This is from Romans chapter 12. Paul writes, never pay back evil with more evil. Never pay back evil with more evil. It was attributed to Gandhi, I believe, that an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. And that's what it does, isn't it? Never pay back evil with more evil. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. And listen to this. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back. And instead, Paul says, listen to this. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Now, some of us, when we read this, we go, well, I don't really want to feed my enemy, and I don't want to give him something to drink. But if it's going to make his head catch on fire, so much the better. Right? So much the better. But just to make sure we get the point, the last verse of this chapter, Paul says, don't let evil conquer you. Don't let evil conquer you. And then he tells us how to conquer evil, but conquer evil by doing good. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. There was a story in a Guidepost magazine about a family who had, as a part of their devotions with each other, had read those verses out of Romans chapter 12. And it just so happened that the day after they had read these as their devotions, the young son comes home from school and he says, there's this kid that sits behind me named Bob, and all day long he jabs me and pokes me. And he always waits until the teacher has turned around and you can't see him and he just jabs and pokes me. And the lady that wrote this story said, you know, I wanted to go down and jab and poke Bob myself. And not only that, I wanted to go and give the teacher a piece of my mind. So they're having dinner, and the young son is talking about this, and they're talking about what the appropriate thing to do about this kid Bob is. And all of a sudden, their three-year-old, who was sitting there twirling his spaghetti around on the plate, looks up and said, feed him. Feed him. Feed him. And they all started looking at each other because they didn't think he was paying any attention when they had their devotion time. So this mother and father looked at each other and they talked over the boy and they said, what do you think Bob likes? Well, I know his favorite thing is a bag of jelly beans. That's what he loves more than anything. He brings them every day. So they said, well, let's go get a bag of jelly beans and you go tomorrow and you give Bob these jelly beans. So the next day, the boy came home, and they said, well, how'd it go with Bob today? He never jabbed me once. As a matter of fact, he was nice to me all day long. And the woman goes on to write in the story that Bob and her son became close friends after this little boy said, feed him, feed him, feed him. And I wonder if there's not a message in there for us folks, because so many times we read the Sermon on the Mount, we say, this is not applicable to me. This does not fit me. This doesn't have anything to do with me. And you could not be any more wrong. It applies to all of us. It applies to all of us. And what kind of witness would you and I be for Jesus Christ if we took these verses at face value and we began to love our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us, to go the extra mile when someone asks us something, if someone wants something for us to give a little more, for us to really be people who turn the other cheek. The very last verse in this passage says, you need to be perfect just as your heavenly Father is perfect. And if there is a verse in this passage that really startles us more than this one, I'm not sure what it is, because we're going, really, God, you want us to be perfect? But I found out that the Greek word that is translated perfect here is called teleos. That's the Greek word. And what it means is not as much be perfect as it means be mature, be complete. And I think that after these passages that we've read the past few weeks, particularly after this one, Jesus says, you want to be spiritually mature? You want to be somebody who is known as a follower of me? You want to be salt and light to the world? Then grow up. Grow up. Grow up. And quit looking for revenge. Quit looking for revenge. And instead, love people the way that I love you. Because one of the things that none of us would argue with is that Jesus loves every one of us as if there were only one of us. That's the people that we love, the people that we hurt, the people that love us, and the people that hurt us. Jesus loves all of us. And we are called to be people who not only know what He said, and that's important for us to know what Jesus said, but we are called to be people who follow what He asked us to follow. So, ladies and gentlemen, you got a choice today. Brothers and sisters, here it is. As easy as I can make it for you, either we have got to start looking at Jesus' words and saying, how does this apply to me? How do I put this into practice? What does this mean for me? Or we can continue to play this game of, well, I know Jesus said such and so, but that really doesn't apply to me. The next time a police officer stops you for a traffic stop, and says, I'm sorry, sir, but you ran the stop sign. Or, I'm sorry, ma'am, but you were speeding. I want you to try this. Say, I know the speed limit sign said 70, but that doesn't apply to me. I know the sign back there said stop, but understand, officer, that doesn't really apply to me. It doesn't work, does it? No, it doesn't work at all. It doesn't work at all. So may this be the day that as we read and hear again and again Jesus' words, not only in the Sermon on the Mount, but elsewhere in the Gospels, may we take these words and really wrestle with them, really ask what they might be saying to us, ask what God might be asking of us. And may we not be people who go, well, I know it says the whole thing about turn the other cheek, but here you go. Time for turn the other cheek is over. If anything, our faith calls us to be people who take Jesus' word seriously. And if there's anything that God is calling all of us to, it is to be mature in our faith. Maybe we could change the last verse in this passage to, be you mature. Grow up in your faith. Grow up in your faith, just as your heavenly Father is mature. May we be those people who are known more than anything else, by our willingness to reach out in love. Amen. To reach out in love. Amen.